Good morning and welcome to NBC Rural Morning Service. For those who don't know me, my name is James. I'm a member at the church. I've been asked to speak this morning on the fifth service of 40 Days with Jesus. With so many in lockdown, I thought it would be a good opportunity to share some thoughts on this passage and some prompted by it. Where I work, on a farm in this beautiful county, Judith, my wife, will now read today's text.
Morning. This morning's reading comes from Matthew 28, verse 16, the Great Commission. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
I'm standing here in a newly drilled field of maize, or sweet corn, as most of you might know it. It's a crop that will grow to 6 or 7 feet high in maybe 3 or 4 months' time. And yet at the moment, it's bare, dry soil. The seed is in the ground. And the person who's planted this believes it will grow into that crop. And experience tells us that that is the case. Jesus taught that unless the seed fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it will bring forth much fruit. It will grow and bring forth fruit, just as we understand this maize crop well. And yet without the moisture, without the sunshine, it will just stay there. What has this to do with this text this morning? Well, when Jesus met the disciples and said to them, "Go into the world and make disciples for me," there was nothing there. There was no church. There were no people. There were those few followers, but there weren't any great church or established Christian theology. It was just like this field, bare with possibilities. Jesus knew what would happen. He could look down the ages right till today to see the people that would be following, to see the people who would follow because of the message from other people. And it gives me hope. I look at this field, and if I'd never seen a field before, and you said in 3 or 4 months' time, you wouldn't be able to look across it as we do now, I wouldn't believe you. But because I've seen it before, I believe it. And that's what Jesus asked us to do, to believe that by spreading the message that is real to me, I will make followers of Christ who will know that it's real for them too. Two lessons we learn from this picture here. I guarantee that nobody can tell by looking what the difference is between the three cows in the background and these animals here. And yet there's a dramatic difference between them. And their long-term futures. ones we looked at over there in the background will sadly have to be put down in a week or so, or less. And these maybe live much longer, maybe years. The difference is those other three were tested positive for tuberculosis this week. I couldn't have told you before the test started which cows would have it or which would test positive. There was no outward signs, there was no illness, obvious illness or coughing or any of that sort of thing. And yet they did test positive, and the rules are that they have to go because otherwise they might spread it. But the lesson I think I learned from this is when you think about the message of the gospel, we can't tell who's going to be saved. The people who we think, oh, there's a good candidate for salvation. Oh, no, no, I'm not going to bother with that person. I'm not going to bother to even talk to them because I think they're, for whatever reason, you can fill in the blank of whatever reason you might think why somebody wouldn't be suitable or there's no chance of them getting saved. Because you can't tell. Maybe God knows because he knows the end from the beginning. But you and I can't tell. The message has got to be the same. I treated those cows, all of them, in the same way, and yet some, just as we've been experienced with this coronavirus, some succumb and others don't. Some probably have been affected by the bug, but they've managed to fight it off, and so they don't test positive, they don't succumb to the disease. In the same way that God teaches us that sin is a disease of the heart, but we can't tell as human beings who's going to succumb, who's going to go to eternity unsaved and who isn't. And for that reason, Jesus said, go into the whole world and preach, baptizing in my name. Tell them there's a message of hope, a message of hope for the world, where change can happen, where salvation, where there's hope, where there was despair. The prospect of being with Christ eternally to worship him. It said that they all worshipped, and some of them had doubts. I think Matthew was remarkably gracious. He didn't name names. He didn't say how many. Obviously more than one, but he didn't say. And I think that allows for us the fact that we have doubts from time to time. We wonder whether telling others about Christ, there's any point. Somebody else might do it. So I can opt out because it's challenging. I might be laughed at. I might feel stupid because I can't answer the questions that people have. I might be exposed for hypocrisy in my life. Well, you're not living the life of a Christian even though you claim it. All those things create doubt, and they create a feeling that maybe I just won't bother. I'll keep what faith I have for myself. And if somebody really wants to know and they're desperate, then I'll tell them. But other than that, I'll just keep it to myself because I doubt. Or maybe those doubts that people had there were the doubts about Jesus. Was it really him? Was it a figment of their imagination? Was this just mass hysteria? My personal view is the history of the church teaches that it wasn't. The people I see as Christians, to me, are the living proof that Jesus is alive. Now, you can give many reasons why you don't think that's relevant or true. But for me it is. And for those who worshipped and those who went to preach the gospel throughout the intervening 2,000 years believed it too, despite their failings, despite the fact that they weren't the perfect followers of Christ. They did really trust Jesus, even as it says, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, that it doesn't take very much to say why Jesus is important in my life. Why, as Francis Ridley Havergal said, I could not do without you, O Saviour of the lost, whose precious blood redeemed me at such tremendous cost. Thy righteousness, thy pardon, are the things that actually make the difference, make the salvation real, a comfort and something that you want to share with other people. At times of stress, when you contemplate the failure of yourself, which is where doubt comes in, you doubt others or you doubt yourself, I'm reminded of what David the psalmist said. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And as I look across and can see some young heifers, they're a possibility for the future. Where nothing is guaranteed, nothing is certain, but it's the possibility of the future. The still waters give me that sense of the eternal, the things that don't change. It's calm, it's restful. And it gives me that opportunity to turn again to prayer, to ask God to help me to spread the word, help me to live the life that He would have me live, not the life that I naturally might think is right for me just right now. It's something that reminds me that even Jesus, God come on earth, needed to take time apart, needed to take time to pray and speak to His Father in heaven. And we need that too. We maybe think that it's great to be out there on the front line of evangelism, but you need to restore your soul at times when the doubts and the failure have come. Need time to spend time beside the still waters of in communication with our Lord and Saviour, time alone in prayer, time to reconnect, just like Elijah did when he went down to Mount Sinai, reconnect after the hustle and the bustle and the amazing miracles and the people turning back to God. You still need time to take time apart, whether through success or failure, to spend time alone with God, to worship Him, to worship what He's created to. There's people ask me about my job, they say. Do you love your job? And I say, I wouldn't say I love my job. I don't know what else I'd do, which is something different. But I do say this, I love where I work. It's a beautiful part of the world. The landscape is beautiful. And it sometimes restores you when you're feeling stressed with work and life to just spend time walking around the farm and spending time thinking about, to a certain extent, the people who created the landscape, but ultimately the ultimate creator, God himself. I finish where I started, in a newly planted maize field. The seeds have now germinated, as you can see, and I'm reminded of what Paul said to the Corinthians about spreading the message of Christ and remembering what it was actually all about. Reading from 1 Corinthians 3, verse 4. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as a law assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. Before closing with a prayer, let me first thank the leadership and especially Tim for allowing me to do the service in this way. Thanks also to Tom for putting it all together. And finally, thanks are due to the Wayne family, my employers, for permission to film on the farm. Let us pray. God, our Father, we turn to you at the end of our service. We give you thanks for the sunshine and for the rain. We give you thanks for a wonderful creation. We ask you to bless each one of us. We ask you, Lord, to help us through this difficult time that the world is currently in. We ask you, Lord, to help us share the good news of Jesus, to tell others about what wonderful things he has done for us and can do for them, and remember that he is the center of all things. So bless each one of us again, in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.